This is the Kinky Cast Community Spotlight. This content is intended for adults. Community Spotlight is a monthly feature to bring kinky communities together. This month we feature the Woodshed in Orlando, Florida. Here's your host, Woody.
Today I'm in lovely Orlando, Florida, talking to Master Cecil at the Woodshed. How are you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
All right. Well, this is a rare opportunity that we actually set out on the road to go talk to you instead of just calling you up like we usually do.
Yeah, really awesome. I'm glad to be able to show you guys around. I'm really kind of proud of what we've been able to create here.
Well, and that brings us to what you have created here. This is all about community here at the Woodshed.
Absolutely, yeah.
And how long has it been going?
The Woodshed is almost 12 years old now. Wow, we've been doing this well.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yes, sir.
You've had a lot of fun here. I've seen the pictures that have posted. There's a lot of fun going on here.
Yeah, there's a lot of nifty stuff. We've been really, really blessed with a great bunch of people around here.
You have 2,000-3,000 square foot rooms.
That's correct. Yes, sir.
So you kind of use them alternating back and forth or combining for big events?
Yeah, we have one primary dungeon, and it's open as a dungeon every Friday and Saturday night at 8 o'clock. And then we have another secondary space, which is our overflow dungeon, and it's also our teaching area. So we can go in there and we can have classes even while we're open.
That's kind of a unique situation. Many dungeons I've been in don't have that kind of mixed space.
Correct, yeah. We just ended up renting two spaces side by side and negotiating with the landlord with the ability to join them in the lobby area. You may or may not have noticed, but there's actually two front entry doors to the Woodshed. That's because they are two separate spaces that we knocked down the wall between.
So the lobby is your only common area. And you have a nice little store in the lobby with the implements of distraction.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. We try to sell stuff that we would use. I've got a quality thing where I like to buy stuff that I can keep for. I've got floggers that are 28 years old, and I want to sell floggers that can become 28 years old. We don't use it as a real profit point for us, so there's actually really good pricing, but it is, the quality is there so that people can actually use them for a long time.
Well, that's the important thing. And you have emergency supplies that I've noticed out here. Pre-toothpaste toothbrushes.
Pre-pasted toothbrushes, yep. Just in case you weren't sure that you were going to play and you had that high garlic Italian whatever, you can now brush your teeth and still go play.
You are so helpful. It's just amazing.
I'm a facilitator of other people's joy.
Well, that's a great thing. Let's talk about community. How big is the community around here?
The community around Orlando is actually quite large. We have a heck of a lot of people here. Now, when the Woodshed was born, it was kind of the desert. We had a munch that met once a month, and we had a play party that happened after the munch that was really not cool. The place that we were going to wasn't all that. It was a person's house, and we knew the person was not the most community-minded person. And so early on, I knew, hey, we need to make a space. I learned that lesson in 1993, actually. And then in 2007, we were able to create the Woodshed. And when we opened at on Valentine's Day, 2008. And it was a singles night. You had to be single to be here. And I had to know you were single and looking. And we did actually allow poly couples that I knew were looking as well. And we had, I believe it was 64 people show up. And that was a lot in Woodshed 1. Woodshed 1 was only 1,800 square feet.
Oh, yeah, that would be quite a crowd.
Yeah, that was quite a crowd. We had a really good time. The community has just grown leaps and bounds since then, with a safe place to play and a safe place to meet. And the things that we've been able to bring, I think that it's just done a really great job.
So you knitted together a community out of the desert.
Kind of. I provided a space and the community came. I really believe that if you provide a safe place, the community will show up. And the Woodshed, amongst other dungeons across the country, is one of the proof of concept on that. We've provided a safe place. People know that it's a safe place. They've seen what we've done to make it a safe place. They see the people that get re-educated or get asked not to come back. They see forward motion and the education that we do. And they participate and learn and grow.
For new listeners that might not understand, when you say safe place, what does that really mean?
Well, a safe place for me is a place where people can show up and not be judged, number one, for whatever it is that they are or they like. We don't really care what sexuality you practice. We don't really care what gender identity you are. We just don't really care. We want to include all, and we do include all. We're pretty god dang adamant about it. And if you don't like somebody else that's here, then we'll talk to you about it and try to educate you to be more inclusive in your thinking. I really do hate hate. The only thing I allow myself to hate is hate. I live less than 200 yards from Pulse. I know about this stuff, and it's not cool. Pulse, of course, the massacre that happened in Orlando. We don't allow hate here, and we don't allow bad behavior here. But we don't immediately kick them out. We try to educate them. Everybody gets 2 or 3 strikes, depending on how bad it is. You know, if it's casually touching somebody's shoulder, no big deal. Well, hey, brother, you shouldn't do that. Or hey, sister, too. We don't, you know, there's no chick privilege here either. Grabbing somebody's hiney, well, that's a scale up. Hey, now we're going to take you outside and talk to you a little bit and say, and it is a conversation. I'm not going to take you outside and beat your ass, you know.
Just because it's the woodshed.
Yeah, just because it's, you know, just because I'm taking you out of the woodshed doesn't mean that I'm going to, you know. But then we re-educate them a little bit and say, hey, look, you know, that's invading somebody's space and somebody's privacy bubble. And, it'd be better if you got in front of somebody and said, hey, how are you? And shook their hand or offered a hand and see if they shake it. Or ask, do you shake hands? You know, do you hug? And that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to hug you or shake hands with you either, by the way. You know, I've actually seen people answer, yes, I do shake hands, but no, I'd rather not shake yours. And I'm like, dude, that's okay.
Yeah, there's a message there.
So, you think there's a message in that, but it may be that just that person's not feeling handshakeable today. We have a lot of people that play with energy here and are energy players. So it's like, no, you don't really want to touch me right now because I'm full of whatever kind of energy that you may not want to consensually pass off to somebody, you know, but if you grab me, you're going to get it.
That is a very astute statement because there are some people that get so into a particular space that somebody coming up really interrupts the flow of energy.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, if anybody interrupts a scene here, they're going to get a very stern talking to. I do understand that some places that's normal, but that's absolutely not normal here and not allowed. It's one of our more strict rules is you do maintain 6 feet around a scene that's in progress. Don't even get close.
The early days when I came into the scene, I was told to talk to a DM when they're not in the middle of watching something critical going on and asking them if they can approach somebody. And they will tell you about the approachability and when.
Yeah, oftentimes, yes. My DMs are pretty good about that. My DMs are here all the time. Most of them are here every time we're open. And so therefore, they know everybody. They'll say, oh, yeah, they're totally great. Or no, you need to give them a half hour after the scene before they're communicative. Depends on the couple or the situation. And honestly, how deep the scene got, too. The scene was just a little snap and tickle. That's one thing. But if the girl left a girl or guy left a half a pint of blood on the floor, yeah, it's probably a little different, you know?
Yeah, it could be. So for a new person that wants to come to the woodshed, how do they approach you?
Just show up. All I have to do is have an ID and show up. We are a teaching space. You can't vet new people. New people can't be vetted because they don't know anybody and they don't know anything. So you can't really vet them. What we do is we let them show up. We let them come in as a provisional member for 3 or 4 times showing up. And after they've been here 3 or 4 times, they'll be either automatically made a full member or they will receive an email saying, please don't come back. And this is why. Now, mind you, they don't get that email until they've had 3 or 4 moments of re-education as well. You know, I mean, it's tough to get that email, but we do send them out once in a while.
In the process of that, in that trial period, you're watching them.
Yeah, yeah, we keep an eye on everybody, quite honestly, but we're keeping an eye on them particularly because they're new and we want to help them along their path. The key to it, I think, is help them along their path. Whatever path they choose, we don't care what path you're choosing. Dom, sub, switch, top, bottom, sideways, we're all good with all of it. Doesn't matter what you want to do. If you want to just come in and learn how to sport crack a bullwhip, I'm totally okay with that because that's fun for me. I will totally teach you how to sport crack a bullwhip, you know. But come in and have the right attitude and you can get almost anything out of here. Another thing we see a lot is the people that are brand new that say, oh yeah, I've been doing this for 25 years. And you look at them and you go, okay, you're 30 years old. I'm pretty sure you haven't been doing it for 25 years, but we'll go with that. And let's see how you do there, son. You know, it's almost, well, honestly, I was about to say it's almost always guys, but it's actually not true. We get that from both genders, or actually all genders. Say, so, oh, yeah, I've been doing this forever and ever. Oh, man. You know, the biggest gimme that you get, the biggest mulligan that you get in kink is saying, I'm new. If you'll just show up and tell the truth, say, no, I'm new and I don't know squat. Man, everybody in the world will help you out. Holy crap, the gates of heaven open for you.
Instead of throwing out that machismo, just have, as you say, the mulligan. I'm new. here's what I think I identify as, here's what I think I want to do, and then their mind may be changed.
Oh, yeah, normally it is, yeah. We tell them to grab a couch and watch. Mm-hmm. You know, grab a couch and watch, or saddle up next to a DM as the DM's watching the scenes, next to, not in front of, next to, and let the DM continue to do his job. But if you ask, he'll comment for you, he or she, we have female DMs as well, will comment for you on the various things that are going on. Say, what the heck is that? Well, that's called a signal whip. It's normally 3 or 4 feet long. It's, you know, got a, you have to adjust it to make it an interchangeable cracker. This is how whips work. You can have those conversations while DMing if you just ask.
The difference between watching and leering.
That's a fine line. It's known. I mean, anybody can look at it and say that's leering and that's watching, but it's hard to, it's really hard to describe that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anytime you've got your dick in your hand is almost entirely leering, you know, and that's not going to work here. Just so you know, that's one of those things that'll be an educational moment for you. You know,
and, that'll be one of those hauled out behind the woodshed things.
Yeah. And just not to be, you know, gender specific, but if you're sitting there diddling yourself off and you're in one of my couches, that ain't going to work either. Now, if you want to do it in the middle of the dungeon, all about it. Have all the fun you want to. If you want to jerk off and make that your scene, well, as long as it doesn't go everywhere, you know.
Contain yourself.
Contain yourself, because goddamn it, my people are volunteers. They do not get paid to clean that shit up.
A few words about cleanup. You are responsible for the space you play in.
Correct, yes.
And so cleaning supplies are provided.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we give them a pretty good tour when they show up. One of the things that is hit every single time is cleanup area. And it's really simple. Every place you see paper towels, you will find a blue bottle full of Barbicide. Simple stuff. Spray it down. Wait 30 seconds if you can. Wipe it off. But every place you see paper towels throughout the dungeon, because paper towels are big and they're white and they're easy to find, you know, That'll cue you into where it is.
Some dungeons have a barrier requirement. Do you?
No, we don't have a barrier requirement. Now, you can't actually do penis and vagina or mouth on vagina or mouth on penis sex here. That's due to Orange County law. You can't pay to come into a place that you have sex at unless it's got a hotelier's license. And I'm not going to run a damn hotel. That's a whole new world of licensure that I don't want to get into.
So that's really good to know.
Yeah.
And to have that expectation in check.
Yeah, you can't do that here. You can do virtually everything else, though. Fingering, fisting, dildos, Hitachis. Seen it all. Have it all here. No problem. Help. We even have a Sibian people can borrow. Matter of fact, we have a Hitachi people can borrow. It puts condoms on that. There is very required there.
Yes.
We do provide gloves, but we don't require that they be used. If you're fluid bonded with the person that you're using, you know, and honestly, I play with people I'm not fluid bonded with, but I don't very seldom use gloves.
But you have a good idea who they are, too.
Amen. Yeah. And I don't necessarily draw blood every time. You know, if depending on the human, there may not be blood problems, you know. I mean, sweat doesn't carry near as many pathogens as blood does, you know.
How true.
One of the things I wanted to talk about also was how leaders need to come about being leaders. And if you've got the right attitude about it, about you are serving the community. This is a community space, and you are a servant of the community, which is what, in my opinion, what leather is. That's where I come from with my leather journey as well. You are a servant to the community. If you come at it with that mindset, I think that you will be able to build that community space that you wanted to. If you come at it wanting to make money, you really need to invest elsewhere. Because I have lost far more money in this place than most people. But we did start breaking even about year 8. So, yay.
So you invested in a community. And
yeah.
And it broke even.
Yeah. About year 8. But you see some people that come at it trying to better their station in life or trying to better their station in the community or stuff like that. And you need to check that out. Check yourself out. I think that coming at building a community center is about building a community, which requires, in my opinion, the leader to see himself or herself or themselves as servants of the community.
Well, I want to thank you for being on Community Spotlight this month.
You're welcome.
And The Woodshed in Orlando, look it up, Google it, The Woodshed Orlando. All the information will come pouring out at you. Come say hi to Master Cecil and take a tour.
Yep, or my awesome team.
Or his awesome team.
Join us next month for more focus on clubs, play spaces, and munches in your area.